3 hours, huh? It's happening. I wonder how many'd still be here in 3 hours. Last night, the Lord blessed mightily. Elder Blair spoke wonderfully concerning a blessing from God that we are not given the spirit of fear. In this life, there's many things that would cause us to fear. He took his text out of 2 Timothy chapter 1, and he says that we're not given the spirit of fear, but of that blessing from God that, where is that text, brother? 1 and 7. Yep, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. There are many things in this world that indeed would challenge us, frighten us. There's a subject that's very much akin to that, that's parallel to it. Preachers experience this especially often. Have you ever felt like that you just did not have what it takes to do what's before you? You just can't do it. You just don't have the means or the strength with which to accomplish what's before you. Well, Paul had that experience over and over. Many of the biblical characters in the Old Testament and the New Testament had that experience. And some complained about it, moaned about it, were discouraged about it. The Apostle Paul, and both of us last night referred to this area of the scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse number 7, Paul had had the experience. I believe he was speaking of himself that was caught up to the third heaven. That means he was always there and experienced things that there was no possibility that he could express the sweetness and the magnitude of what he had experienced in heaven. So we come down to verse number 7, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 7. He says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure there through the abundance of revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." And after petitioning the Lord three times, that the Lord would take whatever this was from him. And I believe that, I think most of us have a guess, and different folks have different ideas of what it was. We all have a guess. But he doesn't tell us what it was. And I believe the reason why he doesn't is if he did, then we would say, well, that doesn't apply to me because I don't have that problem. But it's left open so that we can insert our own situation in it. Then he says, this is what the Lord answered him back when he asked him three times to remove it. And he said unto me, "My grace is sufficient for thee." So here's the subject that's on my mind. "For my strength is made perfect in thy weakness." Most gladly, Paul says, "Therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." And then he goes on to even say, "Therefore I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong." Now let that settle into your mind for a moment. When I am weak, then am I strong. Preachers are plagued with that. As a matter of fact, sitting right there, I think, "Oh, Lord, you know, okay, I looked over some of these scriptures this morning, Lord," I said, "but it's just not registering in my mind, Lord, and I need some help, Lord. If anything is to be said that would be beneficial to this assembled group. Father, I need you, Lord. I cannot do this on my own. I go into a hospital room where there is someone that is sick unto death, so I've been told. So what do you tell somebody who has just been told that they're about to die? What do you say to them? Okay. Or tell a mother who's just been told that her son is about to die or her daughter is about to pass away. What do you tell somebody? How do you comfort someone like that? You must have help that is above yourself. Jeremiah said this about that. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse number 6. Jeremiah said, "Then said I, Oh Lord God." He was in such a state. He says, "Oh Lord God, behold, I cannot speak. I just don't have the words to say. For I am a child." He says, "I feel like a little child that I can't express myself. I don't have anything to say that would be intelligent, that would be a comfort or a help to anybody. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth." We feel ourselves often to be weak physically, just not able to do things physically. We feel ourselves to be weak mentally, just don't have the mental strength to accomplish the task that's ahead of us. Sometimes we feel ourselves to be weak socially. We just don't have the social standing to accomplish what's ahead of us. I feel like that most of the time. I'm just not good enough. I'm just not bright enough. I just don't have the character to stand out and do those things that I feel necessary to do. I must depend upon my Lord. If I couldn't do that, then I'd just be huddled somewhere. Sometimes in my mind, I like to think, man, sure would be great to have a little cabin way back out in the woods somewhere. That cabin so far back out in the woods, you drive until the road runs out, and then you walk on a trail until the trail goes out, and then you keep going, and there's the cabin, and there's no phones out there, there's no internet out there, there's nothing out there, but just peace and quiet. You ever feel that way? Yeah. But that's not the way life is. God has given us a duty, and we carry out that duty, whatever that duty is, and he will empower you to accomplish that. Early in my ministry, I was called upon to go to a place and speak, and I was scared, slapped to death. Of course, I'd already spent over 20 years in the military and had given speeches and briefings and conducted classes. I was a classroom instructor for a long time and done all of that. I knew all of that, but that's different than preaching. I guarantee that's much different than preaching. Old Elder Kenneth Cadel says, he put his old hand over on mine. He says, "JC, the Lord will take care of you when you get there." And he was right. He did. He did. I take no credit for it, but the Lord gave power when it was necessary, gave strength when it was necessary. Now, I want to emphasize that by going back to Judges chapter 6. Whatever our duty is in this life, and we'll leave it open because each one of us, according to Romans chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we all have a gift from God. Every born-again child of God has a gift from God that we're to use in the house of God. And we're to use it to its maximum extent. But sometimes, or often, we feel like, I just don't have what it takes. I don't have the strength. I don't have the stamina. I just can't. My mother used to say to us boys, "Well, can't never did do anything because it didn't try." Well, there is some truth in that. In the service of God, you just, if it's your duty, you just get up and go and do depending upon God. Well, there was a man named Gideon. Israel had done bad again, according to Judges chapter 1, chapter 6, verse number 1. And the children of Israel had did evil in the sight of the Lord. And so the Lord had just backed away from them. And the Midianites had come in and subdued the land. It was taking all, everything that grew. And was just left, leaving them destitute. And so verse number 7 says, and it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites. Well, the Lord heard that. And it's surprising what the Lord does. It really is how he answers sometimes. You would expect the Lord says, okay, well, we need a great army here. We need a great commander here. We need somebody with great power and this great armament. And so we just expect the Lord coming in on a great white steed, you know, and he's just going to really, he's going to conquer those means and take care of things. Well, he does it in his own way. Well, in verse number 11, and there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah. And there was a young man there named Gideon. And he was threshing wheat and hiding it from the Midianites. And, well, the angel appeared to him, and this is what he said to him. He says, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Well, that really upset Gideon. And I'm just going to embellish it just a little bit. Gideon said, are you talking to me? Me? You just don't know who you're talking to, fella. And he goes on to explain. He said, you know, I'm my family is not much, and I surely am not much. We don't have anything. So I think you got the wrong fellow here. You know, Moses had that same kind of response to the Lord. When the Lord told Moses, come, I'll send thee down to deliver Israel. And Moses had a long list of reasons why he was the wrong guy. And after the Lord just rebuffed all of his reasons, finally Moses says, well, just send anybody but me. Okay. But the point was, Moses wasn't going on his strength. He was going on the strength of the Lord. Well, in verse number 14, the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might. Go in this thy might. Now, you can hear Gideon's mind working. My might? What are you? Do you see something to me that I don't see? Well, the Lord did. He saw his strength working in Gideon. The Lord saw that he was going to demonstrate his great power in this young man who was a farmer who had been threshing wheat and could not see himself having the stamina nor the strength nor the ability to lead Israel to defeat the Midianites. God was going to demonstrate his great power. In that exercise, Gideon would not get the glory, but God would get the glory, and Israel would be delivered. And thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? So when God sends, God does not send you to do anything without equipping you. You have all the supplies you need. So what did the Lord tell Paul? My strength is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient for thee. I will give you everything you need to accomplish what I send you to do. Now, one of the amazing things about that is God doesn't tell you everything that he's going to give you right up front. Because if he did, you wouldn't need any faith. But faith says, well, I know that my God is going to give me everything I need to accomplish what he's sending me to do. And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? How am I going to accomplish this, Lord? That's a good question from a young man that's not very strong and doesn't have a powerful family, doesn't have a well-supplied. That's a good question. How am I going to do this? I'm just a farmer out here threshing wheat. How am I going to get this done, Lord? I'm sure that you've got the wrong person. Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I'm the least of my father's house. There's some, you know, there's some other brothers out there that's stronger than me, mightier than me. Did you know that when David was selected to be the next king of Israel, that he was the youngest, the smallest of all of his brethren? God has a way to do that. The king that they had, he was a mighty man in physical stature, head and shoulders over everybody else. But God chose a small man. It's amazing. And how did he demonstrate the power of God right away? Walked out into the battlefield and said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that defies the armies of the living God?" Now, where did he get the strength to do that? The same place he got the strength to defeat the lion and the bear. Now, he said, "And the Lord said unto him, Surely, listen to this carefully, I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man." He says, when I send you into that battlefield, it'll be just like that whole army, like grasshoppers in the field. It'll be as if they were just one man, and they're going to be destroyed. Now, there's a side message here that I want you to get, and that is this. Today, there's a lot of adversaries to Christianity. And look at the church. Just look around you this morning. Now, we got some military, some ex-military here. And, you know, if it became necessary, I could probably brush myself up and pull some of the wrinkles out of my face and, you know, put a hat on so you couldn't see my bald head. I could probably look pretty rough if I needed to. And, I still got a uniform. I would have to do something about getting the coat to fasten. But, you know, the point is we can make ourselves look tough. But the Church of Jesus Christ has no standing army. We don't have any training in arms. We don't do small arms training or large arms training. We don't do that. So the adversary sees us and says, they're nothing. They just don't see any. They think that Christianity is a pushover. They can just run over us. The problem is, the Midianites didn't know who the God of Gideon was. The Egyptians didn't know who the God of Moses was. But they soon found out. Not only that, the Canaanites didn't know who the God of Israel was until they came out of Egypt. And by the time they came out of Egypt, they began to hear what this God of Israel was doing. And by the time Israel arrived across the Jordan into Canaan, they had heard about this God. As a matter of fact, Jericho, the citizens of Jericho had heard, and they were so afraid that they locked up this city. I mean, they just huddled in there because, and by the way, that city, according to the history, the best we have, that city had never been taken before. But the God that we worship today took that city in one day. Amazing, isn't it? That's the God that we worship. Was it Israel? Was it the strength of Israel? Was it the might of Joshua? Was it the might of Moses? Was it the might of that young boy threshing wheat that defeated the Midianites? No, he was honest. He didn't have the strength to do that. It was the might of God. Paul was honest. I just don't have the strength to do this. God was honest too. I know that you don't. But my grace is sufficient for thee. I will give you strength to do it, to accomplish it. That's the reason that in Philippians 4 and 13, the Apostle Paul wrote this. I can. This is the real power of positive thinking. You've heard of that, right? This is the real power of positive thinking. I can do all things. That is, all things that God has called us to do. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can do that. Because he will supply you with everything that you need. Now, there's one more that I want to touch before I close. Do you remember who Jonathan was? Saul's son? A dreadful situation. A dreadful situation. Saul was scared to death. He and all of his generals were cowering. The army was hiding. There was only two swords. The Philistines had taken all the armament. There was only two swords left in the Israelite army. Saul had one and Jonathan had one. So, Jonathan said to his armor bearer, he said, I tell you what, lest you and me slip over to the Philistines, it may be that the Lord will bless us. And they crawled up between two, in a crevice between two large stones. I can't remember the name of those stones now, but they got stone. They had those two stones had names with meaning. So they crawled up there. The long story short, they got on top of the plateau there, and Jonathan and his armor bearer behind him that did not have a sword slew 20 of the enemy in the space of about a half acre. I believe it's right. It was an acre, half acre. Short, a little space. And the army of the Philistines heard that commotion and thought that there was a major assault upon them, and they became afraid, and there was such a commotion that they thought that the enemy was upon them, and they began to fight among themselves, thinking that their own soldiers were their own enemies, and they destroyed themselves. So that all Israel had to do was just come up and pick up the armament and supplies that the Philistines left when they fled. That's the strength of God. One man with one sword. What the adversaries of Christianity does not understand today is that this little frail looking group here, naturally we are, but our God is not frail. Our God is the Lord of hosts. That's illustrated. Isaiah illustrates this. Isaiah 63, I believe it is, where he's illustrated as coming from a great battle. And so the citizens of the city ask this question, who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? And the Lord of hosts responds, I that speak, mighty to save. It was the Lord that had been out and fought the battle. Later on, he's explained that, you know, they ask him, what is this on your apparel? What's this red stuff on your apparel? He said, I went out to fight, and there was none to help me. It was the blood of the enemy that was on his uniform, signifying that he went out and fought, defeated the enemy, and he came home alive. That was a symbol of victory. Your Lord and your Master gets victory every time. So what does that mean to us today? There's a lot of upheaval in our country today. But there is a lot of godly people doing godly things right now. And God is using them. And I believe, I'm comforted, I see signs that God is blessing our country. And he is doing the impossible. Yeah, our last president, he shot his own self in the foot the way he presented himself. But he did a lot of good things for our country. but he's out of office. But Jesus Christ is never out of office. He remains the King of Kings, and he's the Lord of Lords. And he has a people that he loves with a great love. A people that's crying out to him for deliverance and mercy like Israel was. We need some help, Lord. And we're crying out to him. So the Lord heard it. And so, my goodness, he went over and he didn't get a great big man like Saul. He went over and got a little boy, a young man that was threshing wheat. And he said, I'm going to use you to defeat this great army to show my power. And he did, and delivered them. That's the God that we have. We have reason to hope and to rejoice. May God bless you, my prayer.